Honoring Charlie Kirk in Congress. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. The House a few minutes ago passed a Republican plan funding the federal government through the end of October to prevent a partial government shutdown October 1st. The vote was 217-212. It's unclear whether enough Democrats will support it in the Senate. And then the House passed a resolution honoring the murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk. That vote, 310-58, the 58 all Democrats, 95 Democrats voting yes, 38 present, 22 weren't there to vote. House Democratic Party leaders say they did support it. The Senate passed its resolution unanimously. In Turning Point USA, the organization Kirk co-founded to promote conservative politics on school campuses, continues after his murder with a new CEO.
Board members voted unanimously for his widow, Erica Kirk, to lead the organization. They said Charlie expressed to multiple executives that this is what he wanted in the event of his death. They said, quote, Charlie prepared all of us for a moment like this one. He worked tirelessly to ensure Turning Point USA was built to survive even the greatest tests. And now it is our great pride to announce Erica Kirk as the new CEO and chair of the board. The news comes nearly a week after Erica Kirk spoke publicly about her husband's assassination and vowed to keep his legacy alive.
Fox's Christina Coleman. President Trump spoke with China's President Xi today about a deal for the social media app TikTok to be sold by its Chinese-owned parent company. Xi calls the talks positive and constructive.
The leader's talk comes following U.S. officials revealing they've reached a deal with China to switch TikTok, owned by Beijing-based company ByteDance, to U.S.-controlled ownership to address security concerns. President Trump again extending the deadline to keep the app available in the U.S. until December 16th, giving time for the two governments to work out the details of the agreement. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Estonia says three Russian fighter jets entered its airspace without permission today and stayed for 12 minutes. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft. If that happens, LifeLock gives you the U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims. Your agent handles it all. In fact, they're so confident restoration is guaranteed or your money back. It's nice to have an expert like that on your side. Save up to 40% off your first year with promo code BECK at LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
News 11's Information Desk, I'm Julina Aguilera. A vigil was held in Yuma to remember political activist Charlie Kirk. Citizens across Yuma County gathered outside the Yuma County Superior Court. Locals brought their own candles to join together to honor Kirk's life and legacy. If you missed the vigil, another one is being planned on for Friday night at the Yuma County Foothills Library at 7 p.m. Plus, dozens of veterans gathered at the Yuma American Legion Post 19 to remember service members who were prisoners of war or still missing in action. The ceremony included a breakfast, a symbolic table for one, and a guest speaker. The post commander says it's crucial we never forget those who gave their lives to serve our country. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Forecast today, sunny and humid with a high of 97, clear and 79 tonight. Sunny, humid and 100 on Saturday, 81, mostly clear on Saturday night. Partly cloudy on Sunday, 91 Sunday, 78 Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis, senior wealth advisor. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Money.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Adrian Elder, actually. Not Tom, not George. This is Adrian on KBLU Money Talk. I am here with Stan Gourley. This is going to be the fun federal show today. So if you're a federal employee and you're listening, or maybe a retired federal employee, this is the show for you. Coming in today, again, I've got Stan Gourley here. He is the president of NARF locally here. I always get it wrong, so help me out here. National Active Retired Federal Employees. I always want to say National Association, but it's not. But he's here to talk a little bit about federal retirement, right? So we're going to talk everything from pensions to TSP, a little bit of estate planning, a little tax planning, rollovers, all kinds of fun stuff today. But Stan, if you want to, go ahead and take a second and just introduce yourself.
All right. Again, my name is Stan Gourley. I'm the president of Chapter 0266, which is the Yuma chapter for NARF. We have meetings every October, first Monday of October through the first Monday of May, and we have various subjects, but our primary focus is on understanding the federal benefits for retirees, to include the new pay banding employees that are active duty folks. I think here in Yuma County, we have something like 7,000 federal employees. And, of course, they have families and they have investment programs and things like that. And that's what we talk about.
Oh, that's great. And so some of the benefits of NARF, and I think one of the biggest ones is the magazine that you get. So tell a little bit about what it costs to be a member of NARF and then what kind of benefits you get from that.
Well, presently this year, the NARF dues, you have a national dues, and there are, I think, something like $46 or $7 a year, and then $7 a year to the chapter, so that the chapter has a few pennies coming in to buy stamps, and postage went up and things like that. We do have luncheons once a month, as I spoke. And we have speakers coming in October. We have Randall Adams coming from WACOG to talk about how Medicaid and Medicare have changed this year and how that affects federal employees and their families. And then in October, we'll have George come in to talk about Social Security, and we vary the speakers throughout the year.
Yeah. So about $4, somewhere between $4 to $5 a month, which, again, just for the magazine, and I have a friend who's a retired federal employee, so he brings me the magazine when he's done reading it every month. And just the magazine alone, I think, is worth the dues that you pay. The magazine actually goes through a number of really actually deep-level questions that some people say, how do withdrawals from my thrift savings plan affect my Social Security? How do they affect my Medicare costs, right? Things like that, or do they, right? And so it goes through a lot of really great questions. It's all about retired federal employees or people approaching retirement. So even just that alone is a great benefit. And I've been to the luncheons. They're really neat. They're fun. George Davis from my office is going to go talk about Social Security over there. He's a Social Security expert. Actually, National Social Security Associate, I believe, is the designation. So he's got that accreditation, which is great. I recently sat through a webinar. So I'm what's called a CFP, a Certified Financial Planner. And so every year we have to do CE, Continuing Education Credits. And so recently I had one that popped up on my radar, and it was all about federal retirement, right? And they were like, hey, you can get 1 hour for this, and all you got to do is listen. And so I said, okay, I'll jump on, I'll listen. And it's always kind of a funny thing in the CE realm, because, a lot of times the CE stuff isn't super entertaining. And so you sit in as long as you can just to make sure you fulfill the requirement, right? But a lot of times you don't stick all the way to the end because there's a lot of questions and things like that. This was supposed to be a 1 hour CE credit, and I ended up on this thing for almost 4 hours. The reason being is they had a CFP, Certified Financial Planner, who she works directly with the federal government, with OPM, with the Department of Defense and all that type of stuff. And so she had some really great insight. And so I'll get into some of those as we go. But I ended up listening to it all the way through the end of work. I went and picked up my kid, took him to a soccer game, and I was actually listening to it all the way through the soccer game because there's a lot of things that I don't think federal employees really know. And to have it from the perspective of our side of the desk for once, right, to hear what somebody in our realm says. And what was neat was that because she was, you know, because A, she's a CFP, which we're held to the highest fiduciary standard in the industry, and she was on a recorded continuing education call, everything she said had to be very, very factual, right? So while she pick and choose her words, it was really neat to hear some of the things that she had to say. So, like I said, I'll get a little bit more into that as we go. Where do you want to start today, Stan? You want to start with thrift savings, pensions? Where do you want to go first?
Well, I wanted to start with thrift savings. There have been some changes in thrift savings. Well, let's define what that is. We're talking about the thrift savings plan, which is commonly called TSP. Every federal employee under FERS, which is the Federal Employees Retirement System, and every active duty employee of DOD that joined, I believe, January 1st, 2019 and beyond, are participants in TSP, which kind of is a vague thing, participant. So I had to look it up today. I looked up the new pay banding system that they've got going, and that every uniform employee has an automatic contribution of 1%, which is just the beginning. A lot of people don't realize that that means you are a vested participant in a retirement plan. TSP is very similar to 401k with some significant variations, primarily that I've found is in the beneficiary assignments are very, very cumbersome under TSP because only the employee is the participant in TSP, not the spouse, certainly not the other members of the family. Only the spouse has some privileges. Your mother, who may be your beneficiary, she doesn't have any privileges. Mm-mm. Your children don't have any privileges.
Correct.
If they're represented by an adult or a trust fund. So that's a cumbersome thing, and I wanted to talk about that beneficiary element because it affects everybody who started in 19 and is going to retire in 20 years with his minimum years of service, every FERS employees, and those CSRS employees, the old gray guys, that are participant in TSP as a volunteer. But FERS and pay banding employees participate whether they've chosen to do anything on their own or not. There's a program that the government funds at 1% at that time, and then the employee has an opportunity to participate with matching funds of 5%. So when we talk about participating in TSP, you really want to get in at the 5% level as early in your career as you possibly can. And then every pay raise that you get after that, you want to decide what you're going to do with your money. And there are options out there, and we'll talk about those options in a little bit when we talk about traditional IRA programs and Roth IRA programs, and then the bucket list that the financial industry uses. But in TSP, they talk about the L funds, mm-hmm. which vary over time in the same way that buckets do. But the L programs are kind of rigid and fixed once you start, where the buckets are variable on a however often you go to see your financial planner, mm-hmm. every 6 months.
The issue you really run into with the L funds, and this is something, and I'll go into one of the things that this CFP spoke about. So one of the things with the L fund is that you don't have a choice in what you're invested in, right? So the L fund is think of it like a culmination of you've got your C fund, S fund, I fund, G fund, right, F fund, all those that are out there. And in the L funds, you really don't have a say in how much you have in each of those, okay? So when we talk about the individual funds, if we look at C fund as an example, it's an excellent fund. I mean, if you had to look, you know, if you went on Morningstar and C fund really is, it's an iShares S&P 500 index fund, right? It's as simple as that, right? There's nothing really, really too much about it. So it's an extremely low cost fund, right? I believe the internal expense ratio is 0.02 or 0.03. And that's all that you pay, right? So if you make 10%, you really make 9.98, right? It tracks the market. When I always say, if a client comes in and they're like, well, hey, can you guys do better than C Fund? You know, a lot of times I say not likely, right? Because the cost of what we do minus what the return would be, it'd be tough, right? We'd have to really try hard on a consistent basis to beat something like C Fund. But there's a large risk level there, right? So you have to look at that. S Fund, very, very good fund over time, right? Tons of risk to it. That's more of a small cap, mid cap fund. But iFund is one where, you know, it really doesn't track what it's supposed to, right? We're going to have to take a break here in a second, so I'm going to leave you on a little bit of a teaser of why iFund isn't necessarily what you think it is. We'll come back here in just a minute. 560 AM KBLU Money Talk. This is Adrian Elder and Stan Gorley, the Fund Federal Show.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe we manage money for our clients differently from many other advisors. Our way works in close alignment with our clients' goals. Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor when it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement. We're clearly different. Visit YIVWM.com. Find out why investors switch to us. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and an SEC. Registered investment advisor.
All right, we're back. That might have been the fastest break I've ever had on the radio show. So didn't have too long to hang on that teaser. Adrian Elder back here with Stan Gorley on 560 AM KBLU. Again, we're talking federal retirement today, and I left you with a teaser at the end there saying that iFund isn't necessarily what you think it is, right? So while C Fund is a direct track to the S&P 500 and S Fund, again, it's a SMID fund, small mid-cap, right, index fund. iFund, one of the things I learned on this continuing education program that I listened to was that iFund is not a true international fund, right? And we've always wondered in looking at the numbers, because if you look at the market and you look at C Fund, they track, right? They run right in line with each other. But if you look at iFund and you look at, say, an EAFE fund, EAFE, they don't necessarily track. There's something inherently different about them because the EAFE fund over time tends to have a better rate of return than iFund does. So in talking about the L funds like you're talking about, you get stuck with iFund to a certain extent or say F fund that you don't necessarily want in there. And iFund has a large issue in that they have actually carved out many international areas, including much of China, right, in iFund, because they don't want the contractors that work for the federal government to make decisions about contracts based on their investments in their TSP, right? So while China is one of the largest economies in the world, right, which should tend to give iFund a better rate of return, that true diversification is not there internally in iFund. So I thought that was really interesting when she talked about that, and it completely explains why it doesn't do what it's really supposed to do, right? So long story short, I'll jump it back to Stan here, but that's why we don't necessarily recommend the L funds, because you don't know what you're truly invested in, and sometimes the things that you think you're supposed to be invested in aren't really what they're supposed to be.
Well, that's correct. And I think when you're looking at your retirement, originally for the what I would call the legacy military retirement system prior to 19 and the federal employees retirement system, CSRS, prior to FERS, which I think was started in like January of 1984 or something like that, is the fact that the funds today, as they grow, the TSP is kind of a little bit slower to respond. There is a certain benefit that, yeah, it has a very low cost, but there is a cost. And if you wonder about where the money comes from, the cost, we can talk about that. That's a completely separate issue. But when you are saving your money and you have 5% in your TSP, what do you do with that 6%? You've been a federal employee now for a number of years, and you're getting ready for a promotion or a within grade increase or even a cost of living COLA that's going to put you in a bracket that you could afford to invest another percent or two. What do you do with that? Do you put it in a TSP fund? And as you're going along, would you eventually choose an L fund? Or maybe you should take that 6%, that 6% and anything above that and go find your own investment program, your own IRA program, and sit down with a professional and establish that relationship. And now you have all of that liberty. Under the TSP, we have basically six funds or thereabout. How many funds do we have that you have available for your customers?
Probably about 1,000 times that number.
Yeah, absolutely. Thousands and thousands. My wife and I have, everybody will have individual funds. I have my IRA program, and she has a Roth IRA program. And every month I look at the performance of those programs, and she's always 2 or 3% ahead of mine, and it ticks me off when I see that.
Well, I like that. So a couple things that to keep in mind, too, right? Obviously, when you look at this, and this is kind of where I get into the tax planning portion of this. If you don't have – if you're doing this type of stuff, right, and you have retirement accounts and you have IRAs, Roth IRAs, things like that, I would always recommend that it's important to have a tax professional because some of these things, there's some interesting rules to them, right? So over a certain level, you're not – over a certain income level, you're not allowed to contribute to a Roth IRA, right? Now, if you go out to Fidelity or Schwab or Vanguard – will they still let you put the money in it? Yeah, they totally will. So you make $200,000, you know, above the income limit, they'll still let you contribute to the Roth IRA. Were you allowed to do it? No, you weren't, right? And so you have to know what those limits are. And again, having a tax professional, having a CFP or an investment planner that can help you with that makes a lot of sense. Another one that gets caught up that people don't realize is that if you have a qualified plan through work, right, and thrift savings counts as that, and let's say you have an outside IRA, depending on your income level, right, if you're contributing to both over time, you might not be able to deduct the – so the whole purpose of putting money into a traditional IRA is to be able to deduct the contributions that year, right, and say, okay – I put $5,000 into this IRA. That's $5,000 I didn't make for the year. And so I made less, $5,000 less, and therefore I'm taxed on $5,000 less of my income. If you contribute to both, there is a way where you're not able to deduct those IRA contributions. And again, you don't really know. It's not like you put the dollar into it and the IRA goes, okay, you put the dollar in, you're not able to deduct that, right? At the end of the year, you find out, oh, hey, you weren't able to deduct those. So you just took money that you were already taxed on and put it into a tax-deferred investment. Now, again, it's not as if you would be taxed again on that same dollar down the road as long as you have a tax professional that's tracking it. But if you just kind of throw it out to the wind, you know, there are ways, and especially if you transfer the money from institution to institution to institution, where that that tracking mechanism can be lost, right? And say, hey, there is a way, you know, eventually that you could be taxed on that same dollar again. So really important from a tax planning perspective to know what those income limits are, to know if let me give you one other example. If you have a thrift savings plan and you want to make IRA contributions and you have a spouse who doesn't have a qualified plan, right, they can contribute to those IRAs and have them be tax deductible, right? Because that's kind of the caveat. It's like a triangle of madness, right? So you've got the IRA, the qualified plan, and the income limits, and all those things have to work together. But again, as something I would always recommend to all of my clients, as easy as it is to do your taxes yourself nowadays with TurboTax and things like that, it's also very easy to make mistakes. And one of them, I think, and Stan wants to talk a little bit about this, is from the estate planning side, right? And how you can make a mistake with, and it's not necessarily a mistake, I guess, with thrift savings. It's just a planning error, right? Where you think it's going to work one way, and it's really not going to work that way, right? It's going to work a completely different way. But you won't know anymore because you're not any longer here, right? So, Stan, if you want to jump into a little bit about that side of it.
Well, the biggest mistake is people don't seem to pay a lot of attention to their retirement. You have to get in the habit of paying attention to your retirement. One of the things that I realized after I retired, unfortunately, was there's a number of things that you really have to pay attention to. Medical issues are one. We're not talking about that today, but that is a big hurdle that you need to look at before you retire. But back to retirement planning, TSP has definite benefits. Certainly the matching funds to start with is a phenomenal thing. There's no place else you're going to get 100% return on your initial investment. But you have to remember, there's your TSP is divided into two categories of money. Money you contributed, let's call that principal, and money that that money earned, which is your earnings or interest. When you look at those two things, if you're talking about a traditional IRA, that money it went in untaxable. The money you put in, that premium you put in, is not taxed at that time. But when you take that money out, there's the government says, no, 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 you owe us 100% as earned income at whatever category you're in at the time that you take that money out. And I have to take money out every year because of required minimum distribution because I'm over, what?
So it was 70.5. The number and then moved to 72. Now it's 73. So the year in which you turn 73, you have to start taking it. The IRS has already told us they're going to move it to 75. They haven't told us when, but they are going to move it to 75 in the relatively near future. But as of today, it's 73.
Which can sound like a benefit that Uncle gave us, but there's also this evil element to it in that lots of people forget that. And if you have passed your IRA to a beneficiary, your son, your daughter, your mom, and that element comes up, they have a 10-year payback on all of that money and the taxes due on those funds. And you really have to look at that stuff and plan for it. The other side of this investment side for TSP is to either choose a traditional type IRA where the money is untaxed going in but 100% tax coming out, or a Roth IRA where you pay the taxes on the money going in and you pay zero taxes on any of the money coming out. And that tax liability will haunt your beneficiaries if you don't make adjustments while you are alive to cover that tax burden into the future. And I can tell you what I'm doing, and you can figure out what works for you guys.
Mm-hmm. One thing that is really important, and this is something that goes unseen. So, you know, you retire at 65, you jump over, you're on Medicare. One nice thing, and one thing I love about federal employees is many of them are retired military and have TRICARE for life, so they don't necessarily have to worry about this. But one of the things that I think is very important to think about is that when, let's say that you're making $105,000 a year, right? And your pension, your first pension, maybe you didn't work there that long, you never made a certain, you know, G level. Maybe your pension's only $25,000 a year, right? Well, you want to continue maintaining that same lifestyle over the course of the time in retirement, and maybe you save like crazy and you have millions of dollars in your TSP, so I'm good to go, right? One sneaky little thing that comes out, though, is if you're withdrawing $100,000 a year, guess what you just did? You just pushed yourself over the IRMA limit, right? And now your Medicare costs a lot more than it should have, right? So little tax planning items like that, looking ahead and saying, okay, I'm going to retire at 65. I know I want to keep the same lifestyle, or I'm willing to lower my lifestyle, or maybe my mortgage is paid off and I don't need as much money. But knowing what incomes you have coming in, what expenses you have going out, and how those distributions from traditional TSP or traditional IRA, if it's rolled over, are going to affect those little things that are outside of that, right? How does this affect the taxability of my Social Security? Does it even, right? Many times it doesn't. But things like IRMA limits can come in there, and tax rates, right? So saying, okay, you know, just like you said earlier, that $100,000 is as if you went to work and earned it, right? So you've now pushed yourself into a higher tax bracket. So planning for those things is really important, and just making sure that we get to where we need to when it comes to that. The estate planning part of it, and I'm not sure how long we have until break, but the estate planning part of it is really looking at how does the money pass from one person to the next. So one thing, and this goes back into what the lady that the CFP that I heard talk about, and Stan's talked about this for years and years and years on this show, is how does the money pass from one person to the next? So you can pass it directly from your TSP. If something happens to you and you're married, right, your spouse can take over the TSP as if it was theirs, right? And they can have an account because of the spousal benefit rule. In say, a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, you would have beneficiaries dialed out. And there would be a way, let's say that all the money is in an IRA, tax deferred, spouse inherits it, they take it over, same as TSP, right? So same exact result between the two. The difference is in that next layer of the onion. The difference is what happens when the money passes to the next generation. So we're going to cover that here right when we come back, because this is a really, really important part of your federal retirement. And so I want to make sure that you all are listening. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little break here, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back with Money Talk. Thanks.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the community with the financial insights and strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
All right. Short break. We're right back with 560 AM KBLU Money Talk. Adrian Elder here on the Fun Federal Show with Stan Gourley, the local president of NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. And the back end. No, it's not really, but I have to get that word in there. But as we left you, we were talking a little bit about the estate planning side of things and what happens if, you know, if so let's say you're either a single person, a widow, right? Whatever it might be, and you pass away, and instead of your spouse inheriting, or if you never had one, right, your spouse inheriting your TSP, it then has to go to the next layer of that onion, whether it's kids, a foundation, your grandkids, your mom, whatever it might be. Let's talk a little bit about what happens there.
Well, there's different problems with that. That I'd like to kind of draw a little picture for you. I was talking to a retiree, and I asked him if he had his TSP covered. He says, oh, yeah. And he said, I got $800,000. I said, what's going to happen to that money if you die? You know, does it go to your spouse? He says, well, I'm not married. I said, well, what's going to happen to your TSP then, that $800,000? Well, it's going to go to my mom, and she's going to take care of my three kids and make sure they go to college. I said, well, you know, your mom's not your spouse. Well, he got very upset with that I would allude to such a thing. The thing is what Adrian just said. Only your spouse technically is your TSP direct beneficiary. Everybody after that, there are gigantic hurdles. One of those is the tax hurdle. $800,000 going to his mom. TSP is going to take 20% right off the top of that $800,000 to go to the mom, right? Because they're going to send her a check. Your spouse has an account. Your mom does not. So now the mom has to have an account someplace else to roll over the money to. She's going to lose 20% because she's not your spouse. Then you're going to expect to spend, what would that be, $600,000+ for the kids. Except now you just burdened your mom with a $640,000 income tax burden for that year. Mm-hmm. What's the taxes on $500,000 in 1 year? So now all of a sudden your mom has $360,000 of your $800,000, and uncle's got the rest to raise your kids and send them to college. So that would be like 1 year each at Harvard.
And we're not even talking about state taxes, right?
No,
depending
not
on
at
where
all.
You live. Real nice if you live in Texas or Florida, you don't got to worry about it, right? But in Arizona, that's another 2.5%. That $600,000 is, and keep in mind, the entire $800,000 that comes out is taxable. So it's actually as if you earned $800,000 for the year, or mom did, right? And so they're going to take that 20% off the top, like Scan said, that's $160,000, give or take. But that didn't pay the taxes because she's not in the 20% tax bracket, right? She's really in the 34% tax bracket, or depending on, right? So all the tax professionals will be like, well, she really isn't. But theoretically, for our talk, right, good enough is there. But if you're in California, right, boy, that story just changed. That's a lot more taxes. My home state of Michigan, right? That's almost double the amount of state taxes you're going to pay there. So that adds up really, really quickly. And to Stan's point, what they do is mom doesn't have a choice. Mom receives a check in the mail for $640,000. And they're like, this is yours, right? She can't put it into a... She can't tax defer it the way that you can other items, right? And so she is stuck with that. She has that as income for the year. And at the end of the year, Uncle Sam is going to come and say, hey, we want the rest, right? The state of Arizona is going to say, we want our portion. And she's left with a much smaller amount to go out. If you have three or four kids, it's split between them, right? They all take that income on for the year, possibly pushing other incomes into higher tax brackets. And so it's a really important thing to watch out for. And what I always say is this: if you are a single person, right, with a TSP, and by single person, what I mean is widow, widower, or never married, right? You are not a married individual, legally married individual, right? You really have to think about what the options are, because if you look at something like an IRA, can you get C fund in your IRA? Definitely. S&P 500 index fund, basically the same thing. Can you get S fund? You can get pretty close to it using small and mid-cap funds. There's plenty of SMID funds out there. Can you get I fund? Not really, but you can actually do better than that. So you wouldn't want I fund in your IRA or your Roth IRA. You would want a better international fund. G fund, can't get it, right? But you could go out and you could find some guaranteed rates of return that might be comparable.
But there's the treasury notes like we do with our account. We have some excess cash, and you guys take care of that for me. There's lots of options, but you have to deliberately do something about it. You can't just sit there and then, is this such a problem that you shouldn't pay any attention to? Well, how many couples die on the way to Phoenix every year?
Correct.
87 is a dangerous road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those are things to think about, right? What happens in that event? And that's where having a true financial plan comes into effect, right? Knowing if X, then Y, what happens here, what happens there, how do we figure these things out? Trusts, right? How could I utilize a trust to integrate into this and have that be a part of the plan? But having those professionals to help guide you along the way. One thing I run into, and again, I deal a lot with federal employees, it really is my specialty, is that... And it's unfortunate. It's common in all other realms, too, but I think it's very, very common in the federal employee realm, is that where do they get the most information on their retirement? From the break room.
I tell you, the lack of information available and some of the disinformation that's available, one of the items that I just was looking at, I got the paperwork right here, under banding the military employees that joined after the 1st of January, I think, 2019, you can't touch your TSP money until you're at 59 and a half. And in all likelihood, you're going to be eligible for your 20-year retirement at age 40 to 45. So you're going to have to prepare to live for the next 15 to 20 years without touching that TSP money. And nobody's telling you that.
And what's wild, too, and to go along with Stan's point here, is that there are different rules for different employees, right? That's not common. Like in a 401k, if you work for General Electric or Johnson & Johnson, if you're in the 401k there, all the rules have to be the same for everybody, right? The people that work in the engineering department do not get a different rule set than management, right? But in TSP, depending on what your job is, there actually can be different rules. And so one of the things that you know, essentially you want to watch out for if you're law enforcement, right? there's a different set of rules. You are actually able to access your thrift savings earlier without that penalty, right? Because there's a forced retirement. You're not allowed to work past a certain age. So they've essentially augmented the rules to say, okay, for this category of employee, you're able to do that. Well, let's say that for whatever reason you want to remove your funds from TSP, and I get it. Sometimes people don't necessarily trust the government, and they want to get things out of there as soon as they can. But if you do that, right, you roll over your TSP when you retire at 55 to an IRA, you just changed your own set of rules, right? You could have, as a federal governmental law enforcement, and again, not everybody, right, but certain bands, so I don't want to get too specific here. You have the ability to access it and take those if you need to live off that money between 55 and 59 and a half. If you roll it to an IRA, you just changed your own set of rules and made it where you will take a penalty if you take it out of there. So that tax planning portion could not be more essential, especially for federal law enforcement or some other categories that are in there. And this goes for pensions too, right? The multiplier that goes to certain things for a air traffic controller is very different than, say, your general federal employee, right? And so knowing what those rules are, knowing how they all work is essentially important. Not sure if I stepped on something you were going to say there, but...
No. I think you're absolutely right. One element I'd like to go back and revisit if we have time is we were talking about the grandmother. Don't forget, if that grandmother is on Social Security and she gets a $500,000 ordinary income penalty, she might lose her Social Security for that year not get it back until the next year.
Right.
And if she's on Medicare because she's over 65, her Medicare cost, there's a good likelihood it just doubled because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. If you go over a certain amount of income in Medicare, they double your penalty, sometimes for your life, sometimes only for a year. It all depends, but that you're not doing your mom and your mom any favors without establishing the parameters of how that money gets transferred.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways to do it, and it's outside of my bailiwick to deal with that, but it's a financial planning thing. Mm-hmm. There's lawyers involved because you got to write legal documents. It's not cheap. And the last time I went and talked to a lawyer, it was $490 for 60 minutes.
Right. And you know, the funny thing is in you know, when you retire, rolling it to an IRA to a large extent solves most of that problem. Now, with the 10-year rule that they've instituted recently, which I don't know that anybody looks at that and goes, "Oh, that was good for me." The 10-year rule for the non-spousal beneficiaries does mitigate that a little bit, but that's still 10 years you get to stretch it over versus taking it all on in 1 year, right? And so not a huge upside to that. But the people that I talk to that are like, "Well, I love my TSP. I want to keep it in there." You know, I understand that, and I don't want to pay any fees. I understand that, right? If you're comfortable with CFUN being your only holding, and you're perfectly fine with the roller coaster of it going way up and way down. Again, will it go way up over time? Historically, yes. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a worse rate of return or a better rate of return than what you're able to do in CFUN, but you could move it to an IRA and manage it yourself and just buy an S&P 500 index fund, and you have the exact same thing to a very, very large extent, right? Now, if you want someone to manage it, totally different story. I think that's always a good example over time, especially if you're more risk averse, right? We're able to take a lot of different positions that can reduce that risk, diversify it when we need to, change things up and help guard that downside risk. But, you know, again, if you're one of those pedal to the metal kind of people, the inherent danger is what happens after you die, right? Your spouse will inherit it, but if your spouse and you are in the same car, right, on Dead Cow Road, and something happens, you know, that's the unfortunate tax flip side to it. One thing I did want to talk about, just because it was something that the CFP mentioned in that CE course, is the annuity portion of TSP. And she said something very interesting. And you know, again, I could always go back and find this recording if someone wants to hear her say it instead of me. But this person had been working with the federal government for 40 years, right? She is one of the very few people that Department of Defense really relies on for financial advice for thrift savings. And her quote unquote in the recording was that she has never seen a situation where the annuity for thrift savings plan made sense to a person versus another idea, right? Annuities are not something that are hard to find. There's plenty of companies that are out there that'll do it. You can create your own annuity. You can say, okay, if you have a financial plan and a tax plan to go along with it, say, I know I need $2,000 a month to live off of, rather than giving over my $500,000 to thrift savings and say, just give me $2,000 a month for the rest of my life. You could probably find a way to do that, depending on the amount that you have, the amount that you need, you know, in a better mousetrap, right? So that was something I definitely wanted to cover today. There is a push by TSP to get you into that annuity to a certain extent. I have had retirees get a call after the fact, right? They retire and they get a call saying, hey, we know you retired. Let's talk about the thrift savings annuity. We can talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We do have to take a break here real quick. 560 AM KBLU Money Talk. Thanks for having your time with us.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
All right, we're back. This is Adrian Helder on KBLU. We're doing the fun federal show. These quick breaks don't give us a lot of time to game plan in the middle. So we were talking a little bit about the annuity on the way out. And so, you know, again, the annuity for thrift savings is an option. What you can do is you can say, okay, I've got $500,000 in my thrift savings plan. I'm going to retire, right? I need income. So I'm going to turn that money over to an insurance company, right? And say, okay, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, do not give me this money back. In return, right, cost of living, I want to get $1,000 a month for the rest of my life, right? Or you can reduce that and say, I want me and my spouse, right? And maybe you'll get $750 a month from it. But Stan has some insight on that he wants to touch on. But again, it's one of those things where we feel like you can build that same house outside of thrift savings, and you can actually build it a little better than what the program you're given inside of there.
Well, as I understand it, you're going to take your TSP money. Let's call that your TSP premium or principal. That's all your money. That's money available to you in your future when you retire. If you then buy an annuity with that money, for a $500,000, annuity, you could probably reasonably get around $1,000 to $1,500 a month for the rest of your life. That money, that $500,000, will go into an account, and they're going to do everything they can to make that $500,000 earn as much money every month as they can.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Essentially the insurance company does, and this is one of those, I always say that the insurance company is on a 100-year time frame while you might be on a 20-year time frame, right? So they're going to take the money. You're going to hand over your money to them, and they're going to invest it very wisely. They're going to buy the same thing you would buy, right? S&P 500 index fund, C fund. They're going to buy Vanguard Growth. They're going to buy whatever, right? They're going to grow that money because the insurance company isn't worried about downturns, right? They know that over time the market goes up. So they know they're going to average 7% a year pretty much without question, right? Over the course of a long enough time frame. So they are more than happy to pay you 3, 2, 4, whatever it might be, right? Because every year they're basically keeping the difference, right? They're giving you your guaranteed income. You're definitely going to get that $1,000 a month, but just to kind of do the math on it, if you got $500,000 at 4%, that's $20,000 a year, just at 4%, right? So if they're giving you $1,000 a month on that, they're already keeping $8,000 a year. And so while it may not seem like there is a quote unquote fee to that, right? There is. The fee is the difference that you don't get to keep. And when you die, they keep the rest, right? So,
well, the rest of the earnings, the rest of the principal that remains, depending on the annuity, may be part of your estate. In some cases, I've heard it is not part of your estate, depending on the contract you signed to loan them or to give them the $500,000 for that guarantee.
Yeah, there's definitely ones where you don't get that back, right?
And that's a hard. That means then you just traded all of your estate for that $1,000 a month, and no matter how much you want to leave to your cat or the Audubon Society, it ain't going to happen because it's not going to be there.
Especially when you could have just kept the $500,000, went out and invested it wisely, right? And at 4%, rather than getting $1,000 a month, you're getting $20,000 for the year, right? So it's just one of those things where you really have to weigh, does it make sense? The guarantee is very nice, right? But again, there's also other companies that are out there, whether it's, say, Lincoln or Jackson or Nationwide, right? There's plenty of other companies that are out there. And really, I think what this CFP's point was is that their rates for those annuities, the benefits, the what we would call riders that you can attach to them, are better than what you're able to get directly through what Thrift Savings offers, right? And so I would just say this, if that's something that you're contemplating, you're nearing retirement and you're saying, hey, you know, my pension isn't going to be enough to live off of, I'm thinking of flipping what I've saved in this Thrift Savings into an annuity to make up the difference, I would really highly recommend that you speak to someone, you know, whether it's a CFP, whether it's an investment professional. I would be careful about going to someone who's not independent, right? Because if you go to somebody who only sells Nationwide or only sells New York Life or something to that effect, you're only going to get their product. You're not going to see the other options. Same would go for any insurance, right? If you go to any non-independent, I would really urge you to go to an independent person. We are an independent, just as a little pat on the back, self-promotion there. But we can look at all the different options that are out there for the annuities and say, if this really is what you need it to do, we can find you the best mousetrap for that versus only looking at one option, right? So just an aside, those are the big three that she covered, right? That the international fund is not what you think it is, right? That if you die and you don't have a spouse, what happens to the money at that point? And then the core one of the annuity not really being a great option in most scenarios, right? If not any scenario.
Some of these options are so easy, and they do it deliberately to make them easy for you. It is not wise to be a lazy retiree.
Yes.
You have to be an active retiree. And I don't mean getting up out of your lazy boy. I'm talking about pay attention to what your money is doing and make it do it the best it can for you. Sometimes you got to bite the bullet. Some months are better than others. But a guarantee, like an annuity, or some of the other vehicles that are out there that you can buy, you got to balance them with what the payback is on that and what the burdens are. The beneficiary burdens in TSP are very, very difficult. If you were to take that at 59 and a half, move that $500,000 over to your own IRA account or move it into a 401k because you went to business with somebody else, that's a move that allows you to control that money yourself. Now the beneficiary burdens are wide open. Mm-hmm. They're completely different outside of TSP.
Correct.
Than inside of TSP.
Yep.
So you got to pay attention to that to maximize that, because I just saw today that the average age is going to be, I don't know, they were saying that it was 73 or 76. But if you live to 70, the average age is 85.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over 70 now, so I got a plan for 85.
Yeah, correct. One other thing I did want to touch on, and this again goes back to that tax planning, is what's called, and Stan touched it earlier, required minimum distributions. So one thing, and TSP is very good about notifying you about things, but again, it goes to the fact that they're not going to do it for you, right? And so what a required minimum distribution is after age, currently under IRS tax code 73, age 73, there's an amount that you're forced to take out each year. They look at the previous year end balance on 12/31 of that year, December 31st, or as they say in the federal world, 31 December. And so they look at that number, and there's each year, 73, 74, 75, and so on, you have a multiplier. It's not exactly what it's called, but they have a number that they take, and they divide those two together, and that number that comes out at the end is what you have to take that year, and you have to get taxed on it. If you're in a Roth TSP, you don't have to worry about that. There's no required minimum distribution for the Roth side, Roth IRA, Roth TSP, whatever it might be, Roth 401k. But if you're in a traditional, there is a number that you have to take out. From the TSP side, they send you a notice. They say, hey, Stan, you've reached age 73. It's important that you take these out. There is a very large penalty, about 25%. Used to be 50, so it's a little bit less, but 25%, very large penalty that you will take if you do not take this amount. So let's say it's $10,000 you have to take. Your penalty, if you don't take it, is $2,500. Not a prepayment of tax. You don't get anything for it. It's a pure tax penalty, right? You owe the IRS $2,500 simply because you didn't take the money out that you were supposed to. It is your responsibility in thrift savings. If you're going to move things to, as I spoke earlier, you know, a Vanguard account where you're going to manage it yourself. Again, it's the same situation. It's your responsibility. One thing that I would always encourage is having a team, having professionals, having a financial planner, having a tax professional that says, hey, but and even in that realm, they're still going to say, Stan, you got to take $10,000 out for the year, but they're not able to do it for you. When you work with a CFP like myself, a certified financial planner, we're liable for that, right? We're responsible for that. So if you don't end up taking that thrift savings by the end of, or the RMD from not from thrift savings, but from your IRA by the end of it, you're going to be in a position where you're going to owe that penalty. I would actually be in the position where I would owe that penalty for you, right? And so I'm going to make sure you take it out. I'm going to tell you this is how we got to do it. You can set those up monthly. You can set them up annually. You can do them at the beginning of the year, the end of the year. It doesn't matter. You just have to make sure that you take it. But it's one of those tax planning things that from Thrift Savings, you'll get the notice. And I only bring this up because I recently had a client come on board who retired from federal employment years and years ago, and he's 75 now, and he's never taken one. So guess what? Those penalties don't go away.
No.
They recur and compound over the years, so you got to be really careful with that stuff. We got about 2 minutes left, Stan. Anything you want to cover before we have to get out of here?
Well, one thing I'd like to cover is traditional IRAs, again, when you take the money out, you're going to pay taxes on 100%. You take out $100,000 out of your traditional IRA, you're going to pay ordinary taxes at $100,000 for the year. But if in the years prior to that, if you slowly move that $100,000 into a Roth IRA and pay the taxes, say, over a 10-year period, then when that money comes out of the Roth IRA, no taxes are due. And if you do that, then if you die and that becomes part of your estate, you just didn't dump a $10,000 a year burden on your daughter who's only working as a school teacher someplace, and $10,000 is going to be a penalty. Pay the taxes up front, move it into Roth, and be done with it.
Yep, great tax planning idea, especially if your income is low in retirement. And again, something we can dial out for you and show you exactly, you know, this is how much you would owe in taxes. This is a strategy that we can use, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, as those things go, or if you have a lot of write-offs in 1 year, maybe even more. But really great ideas. Thank you so much for being on with us today, Stan. Your wisdom is beyond belief when it comes to this stuff. If you're not a member of NARF, you should be, right? The $4 to $5 a month is some of the best money you could spend for the information that you get from them. We really appreciate you being with us today on 560 AM KBLU. Again, this is Money Talk. My name's Adrian Elder. I'm here with Stan Gorley. This was the Fun Federal Show. We appreciate you being with us, and we hope to see you again soon. Thank you.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC, investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.